Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
The Masters is back, and this week DraftKings has given you 100-1 odds on the golfer if you're choosing to finish in the top 10. If you haven't tried DraftKings, go download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the golfer if you're choosing finishes in the top 10. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $1 into $100 for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Number two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, our podcast will be uploaded just moments after the show goes off the air, each and every day, so you can go back and check that out whenever you want, whatever you're doing. The podcast will be up there for you. As well as that, we have our Periscope up right now. That way you can check out the video feed of the show. You can catch it live, and you can stay up to date with that on the Facebook and Twitter accounts. I know that is tweeted out, and it's posted on Facebook, so you can go and check out the live version of the show there. Hello to anybody who's listening. And you can go and check out fanrunradio.com. Man, that's a great place to check out some of the latest news and information surrounding Tennessee athletics. Whether it be baseball, basketball, or football, we got a little bit of it all right here on the headline page. And I'll go ahead and read out some of the headlines you can check out right now on fanrunradio.com in case any of these pique your interest. We have one article, Understanding the College Athletics Transfer Portal and What It Means for Tennessee Basketball and their newest recruit, Justin Powell. That's actually a conversation we'll be having on the show here coming up at about 11:15, 11:20. What does the whole transfer portal look like right now? There are record-breaking numbers and how likely will it be that Justin Powell can actually play at Tennessee here in this next upcoming year? We'll give you those answers coming up. You can also check out a spotlight on Hendon Hooker, Tennessee's newest quarterback transfer. You can see a nice article about Desmond Oliver, who's leaving, and a story from 2017. I had actually forgotten this story until I had found it researching yesterday. Do you remember the Level 3 violation that Rick Barnes committed in 2017? For paying Des Oliver out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Great story. I had forgotten about that, and I forgot that that they were kind of together on that, and that's it's a great lasting impact, right? That Des Oliver was a part of. So, anyways, those are just a couple of the big articles. We also got some Tennessee baseball stuff. So, in case any of that piques your interest, you can go and check that out on the website right now. And then, last but not least, go ahead and download the app. It's free to download. You can take the show, take the station, wherever you're headed, each and every day. And you can download it on any app store that you have. That being said, hour number one of the book, hour number two on deck. You guys ready to roll?
Let's do it.
All right.
Are you sure you're ready to roll, Brandon?
I said let's do it.
Okay, then. I'm going to get so angry. Let's bring you a snack or something.
Yeah, Snickers?
Something.
I mean, I'd love one.
Here we go. Gentlemen, Baylor defeats Gonzaga last night in the NCAA championship game, the final March Madness game. They defeated them by a score of 86-70 as the Baylor Bears are your new national champions. What an amazing season. What an unprecedented season that all these kids had to go through in order to get to this game. And we almost saw history in the making. I love those moments where it's not like Gonzaga in the Sweet 16 or Gonzaga on the way. Like, oh, well, we could be close to history. We're close to history. I love those moments where you're like, all right, this is either it or it's not. And not to say that Gonzaga doesn't have a historical season regardless, you know? But I do kind of like that moment in the final game. They're either going to be that team or they're not going to be that team. And I do love that that decisiveness.
Wouldn't have been cooler if they would have won?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for that story, absolutely. But also, it's kind of a good story that it's not, right? It still stays in the upper echelon of things that are just impossible to do, things that just don't happen in sports. We saw one of the most amazing opportunities for it, but it still remains one of the most sought-after things in the sport of college basketball. And I kind of like that, too. So, I don't know. Win-win.
Yeah, I guess I was over the Gonzaga hype for a long time ago, and I don't feel too bad they didn't get it. Hey, be better. Baylor was awesome.
You shouldn't have jumped on the table in your Final Four game. You used all your
No, you got to jump on the table.
You got to jump on the table. We got to jump on the table.
Baylor just, like, probably should have been undefeated if they didn't have the COVID pause, too. So
slipped up against Kansas, yeah.
I mean, if they, like, wouldn't have had that COVID where they weren't getting to practice and where almost everyone on their team got it, I think there's a decent chance you had two undefeated teams playing last night.
Yeah. No, you're very correct. They had a big outbreak with players, and their coach, Scott Drew, even got it as well.
Yeah, but I despise Gonzaga. I don't really know why, but I just always have.
Why?
And I hope they never win a national
championship. They're America's team.
No, they're not. They're Spokane,
yes, they
Washington's
are.
Team.
They're America's team.
America's team cannot rely on Spokane.
Sure it can.
Spokane is not America's town.
Why can you not like? Well, what's not to like about Gonzaga?
Their colors, their coach, their team,
their
level
colors
of success.
Are red, white, and blue.
Yeah, but not the right shades.
You need to change your phrasing here. You change your wording. America's college team. No. The college team of America.
No.
The University of America.
They are America's team.
Relax with that. All right, use your words differently.
Well, everyone knows that Gonzaga is not playing in the NFL, so I shouldn't have to clarify. Yeah, they're America's team.
And we can stop the America's team with the Cowboys.
Oh. Yeah.
We got that.
Who is long gone.
America.
We as America.
America can stop saying that.
No. The Cowboys are no longer America's team. We have adopted Gonzaga.
No.
You, sir, must have a mouse in your pocket.
Let's just take the Oakland A's and call it a day.
No one's adopting Gonzaga with you. No way.
I think they are. Again, the Oakland A's, I think, would be the best option for America's team.
What about the Dodgers?
No!
Now, one of the late-night Sports Center guys used to call Gonzaga America's team. That's why I said that.
Oh.
I can't remember
they're
which
so
one.
Unlikable.
Neil or Stan?
Stan for it. Yeah.
Stan. I love those guys together.
Just join the Pac-12 already, you cowards.
All right, gentlemen, second down. The Texas Rangers were in the news yesterday, not for the team, but for the environment, as the Rangers had their first game of the season at Globe Life Park to open things out, which officially marked the first packed stadium in the United States of America since the pandemic began.
What was the total number of in attendance?
It was
about 35,000.
Yeah, just I think a little bit less than 40,000, which is the cap.
It was beautiful. It was amazing. God bless Texas.
Now that looked like America's team. Now that was
that,
true
that
red,
did
white,
look
and
like
blue.
America's team.
Baseball, sunshine.
Thank God Texas has some sense and they're letting people live their lives.
That
here.
Team.
We're all gonna.
That the Rangers are. I don't even know how to describe how bad.
There's no word.
They have David Dahl.
We have not invented a word yet. The Vanderbilt of Major League Baseball. The Vanderbilt football of Major League Baseball.
Like
is that fair?
I feel like it's an insult to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, probably.
I feel like the Rangers aren't that bad.
It's not good. But either way, the team is in the news, as this was obviously one of the most talked about things in sports yesterday. Now, I got to say, I did have a friend who was in attendance at the game, and he did tell me a little bit about what his experience was at the game. So I'll kind of read out some of the thoughts that he said. Basically, he said they only enforced masks when you were moving up. When you were up and moving around the concourse, but, you know, basically everything was nice. The weather was nice. People were in a good mood. There was nobody in his section, you know, that was causing a scene in either direction. Although the biggest thing that he did say was that it felt like everything was extremely overwhelmed. He said the concessions were a disaster. The parking was a disaster. They had reserved parking. Did not get it.
You gotta
had to
ease
go to
back into this.
Of, had to go to the other side of the field into like one of the worst parking lots. And, you know, again, brand new stadium, there's really no time to prep or you know, you had no experience for some of these staffers probably. So he did say that the most notable thing that he saw was he felt like the entire stadium was very overwhelmed because there was a great sense of, you know, people were like, wow, this is crazy. Like, I'm not used to this many people trying to do this, you know, this many tasks or this many things all at the same time. Like how we can all remember walking through a packed stadium, right, where everybody was doing something. So that's a little bit about what he said at the game yesterday. But again, said there wasn't too many problems. Definitely said that it was a little bit weird to be back in that environment. He kind of had to, it felt like he was dreaming at one point.
So I'd be anxious. It looked scary to me.
Yeah. And that was one of my questions. You know, I really wanted to know, like, what was it like sitting in the crowd? Like, because that would bother me if just murmurs the whole time and people talking about masks and people talking about, you know, how they feel and things like that. That would very much be,
well,
like,
I wouldn't worry about that
a little
much.
Upsetting.
I guess because I think you're at a sporting event, you're probably not going to hear that much. To me, it's just it's different now because we've been so long without being in close quarters with that many people like that. To me, my anxiety levels would be very high. And I'm, like I said, I'm still not ready to be that close to people. I feel like I've still got this bubble and don't want to be. But, yeah, more power to Texas.
I think the Braves will probably be next. The MLB said they expect to have full stadiums all around the league by midsummer. But yeah, I think the Braves will probably be next. But if the Braves don't do it, like, I might want to go to Texas for a weekend just to remember what it's like to have a full crowd. And as for the concessions and everything being overwhelmed, I feel like that's just the new stadium, their first time seeing a big crowd. I mean, hell, at Nissan Stadium, like, it's still like that. And that's when the Titans only had half their stadium full.
Well, I feel like maybe people just forgot that, you know, you got to stand in line for concessions and the parking's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
When you go to games.
There's a lot of tricky things when you're trying to get, you know, anywhere from 40,000 to 100,000 people all in one building, you know, essentially. There's going to be tricky situations. But either way, that was a little bit of what his experience was at the game yesterday. All right, here we go. Third down. A little bit of football news out of the NFL. 3 years after bringing him in as the franchise savior, if you will, the New York Jets and Sam Darnold are parting ways as Darnold has been traded to the Carolina Panthers yesterday, ending apparently months of intense speculation about what the Jets were going to do with their future at quarterback. I think a lot of people are asking this question. Still have a really young Sam Darnold. He also had the second pick in the draft. What are you going to do? They've decided to move on from Darnold.
But what does it mean? Who are they taking at number two?
Zach Wilson. It's like a lock.
Yeah.
What the hell are the Panthers doing?
Well, I think they weren't going to be able to get the quarterback they wanted, so they figured they would try something out with Sam Darnold, but quit wasting capital on mediocre quarterbacks like Teddy Bridgewater and Sam Darnold and just go all in and get yourself a quarterback or wait it out, I guess. I don't know. But, I mean, I feel like it's just a pretty bad move. I don't like Darnold at all.
I feel like the Jets should take McCorkle
broken.
Jones.
Nope.
McCorkle?
Michael.
Have you heard the news coming out of San Francisco? Is that Kyle Shanahan loves McCorkle.
Loves him.
But John Lynch does not. He's not a big fan. And if you remember going back to Washington, the Shanahans were very very outspoken that they did not want Robert Griffin III. They wanted Kirk Cousins at the time, right? So that led to a little bit of tension caused in Washington. So now you have a little bit of the same situation going on in San Francisco where Kyle Shanahan is a big fan of McCorkle. But again, the general manager,
huge fan.
The people at the top are not. And you can think about it this way. The Niners, at the time when they were putting everything together, they got Shanahan as their head coach before they got Lynch as the GM. So you would think maybe they have a little bit more stock tied into Shanahan, but then you're also thinking to yourself, like, do I really want to take McCorkle Jones at, like, pick number 9? So there's some weird things going on in San Fran right now.
We'll see who wins out.
Pick number
Shanahan
three.
Or Lynch. Yeah, they're at number 3. They traded up.
That's why I think the Panthers went after Darnold, because I think that they found out that the quarterback they wanted is going to get taken at number 3 by the 49ers, and they gave up. I mean, at least Sam Darnold, you know, gets one last chance. Everyone does deserve a chance to play for someone other than Adam Gase, the worst coach in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, wasn't he Peyton's quarterback coach at one point?
Yeah, that's why he's got all these jobs.
Yeah, that is. That's exactly why.
Peyton was like, here, I'll teach myself how to play quarterback. You stand there and then enjoy a luxurious 30-year career based off of my results.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. All right, and here we go. Fourth down. Just wrapping up a little bit of news that we had talked about at the beginning of the show today, but in case you missed it, definitely something you're going to want to know about. But as of yesterday, we do get word that Desmond Oliver, assistant coach with Tennessee on Rick Barnes' staff, has left Tennessee and will be taking the ETSU job, the ETSU head coaching job. Oliver has been in college basketball for over 30 years at the Division I level, has always been assistant coach. So I think, as the Tennessee press release said, well-deserved, long overdue. We wish him all the best as, you know, certainly a little bit of a controversial situation happening at ETSU right now. So hopefully he is the guy to go in there and hopefully strengthen that. And you know that he's a man of high character. But also a guy that Tennessee's going to miss. But either way, Tennessee does go ahead and fill in one of the replacements that they had to fill in just a couple of hours later as they bring in assistant coach Rod Clark, 28-year-old assistant coach from Austin Peay, who has had extensive time in different levels of basketball, really. Right? He might lack a little bit of college basketball experience, but what he lacks in college, he makes up in just world basketball experience almost, with Nike teams, with AAU teams. Coaching Kennedy Chandler back in 2019. This is definitely a guy who is up to date with the future of college basketball, with the youth movement, if you will, of college basketball, where this game is going, especially from a schematic standpoint. I really like this hiring from Tennessee. And again, we wish Des Oliver all the best over at ETSU.
Go from former... So they've had three former Tennessee assistants as their last three head coaches.
They absolutely have.
Forbes, Shea, and now Des Oliver. Wish him all the best. I hope, and ETSU is a place where, I mean, Forbes showed that you can have success there in the Southern Conference. So,
and let me make sure I'm getting this right. But I believe that Russell tweeted out on April 3rd, so a couple of days ago. He had said at the time, word is Vols assistant coach Desmond Oliver will be named the new head coach at ETSU soon, which did come true. And then he also said, I'm hearing Drew Pember, Devontae Gaines, and Quez Glover could join him in Johnson City, which we had talked a little bit about yesterday. But in case you had missed that, there it is. So there you go. That right there is your opening drive for the day. On the other side of the break, I have been waiting to get into this this conversation with you guys. Let's talk a little bit about the college basketball transfer portal. Let's talk a little bit about what Justin Powell is going to be going through in order to get into this Tennessee team. It was a big conversation people wanted to know the answer to when that announcement came out over the weekend. A lot of people said, hey, we know that he's going to be good, but is he going to be good if he's just on the bench? Well, we'll give you that answer, and we'll tell you at least how close he is to playing. On the other side of the break, don't go anywhere. Here we go, back here on the Blitz, 11:22 a.m. Got a little bit of a story for you today, and hopefully the idea behind it is to maybe clear up a little bit of confusion about what is going to be happening with all the transfer portal players this offseason, especially in college basketball. So here is what you need to know about what is going to be happening and basically what is going to be happening with Tennessee's latest transfer player from Auburn. Now, in case you want to follow along, I'm reading... going along with the story that we have posted on fanrunradio.com. But essentially what we know is that there is right now more than 1,200 players in the college basketball transfer portal. And honestly, that was from a couple days ago, the latest report. The number is growing, not just by the week, not just by the day, not just by the hour, but by the minute. One coach anonymously told the New York Post that their coaching staff is not just checking it daily, they are refreshing it. Because that is how often these kids are being added into the portal. One coach said it is the wild, wild west out there. He said it's crazy town. I think it's horrendous for the sport. Certainly a strong opinion right there.
Crazy town.
Crazy town. You know, I guess if you're going to say that, you definitely want to go anonymous. Or at
Full
least in his mind.
Neon dreams.
It's the wild, wild west. But then you have like a guy like Jay Wright, right, who maybe took a little bit more of a conservative approach, if you will. He said, I don't think it's good for college basketball, but it's good for the student athletes. And ultimately, that's why we're here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel like there needs to be a little bit of regulation in there. It doesn't need to be like the wild, wild west, but...
And you kind of get the sense that it is, right? Like, looking on the outside in. And I know that we don't exactly know what's going on in the inside or what these conversations are looking like. But again, also, all these conversations are happening with the transfer proposal still on the table. It has not officially gone through yet.
Well, yeah, maybe there might need to be some, but it's also, if a guy transfers, that's the karma. If you don't get picked up, like if he tries to leave
that's
a team
point.
And he doesn't get picked up. So, like, I think that they still should allow him to do it. Like Jay Wright said, he's supposed to be here for the student athlete. What we're getting at is how selfish should a university feel about this, or how selfish should the fan feel? Because, like, I mean, it's currently on the player. Like, if they don't get picked up, they should have stayed with the roster, the school they're at. Like, that's their own fault. Like, sometimes the grass isn't always green on the other side.
It's tough, though, because there are situations with Drew Pember or Devontae Gaines this year where they likely –
You needed to push those guys out.
Suggested that they had they needed to leave.
You know they were.
You know, it's really like it's really not that great for the student athletes. It looks like, on paper like it would be good for student athletes, and it's good for the best student athletes. But I mean, everyone in the middle of the pack and below is getting hurt by this transfer portal because they're not getting where they thought they would end up, and they're just getting stuck places that they don't want to be. Or just without homes at all. There are a lot of players ending up with no school to play on.
You know, I think that, Chance, I totally see what you're saying right there. You know, it's kind of like a drain system. You know, the way that I see it with the – if this is going to balloon, right, to this level, especially for this year, but say, you know, it continues on, you start to see these just insane numbers, then I do think that the NCAA will have to do a little bit better job at having a system maybe – to get these players back on a team at least, right? And maybe it's not just an Excel spreadsheet, right, with 1,200 names that you can contact. But either way, certainly an unprecedented time. And here's what's going on with the current proposal. Right now, the proposal would be a one-time transfer that would eliminate the need for a waiver to be granted for immediate eligibility, right? That is what the new rule would do, the one-time transfer rule. Now, the proposed legislation has picked up steam in the last couple of days as NCAA President Mark Emmert recently affirmed his support for the proposal at his annual press conference before the Final Four. So, good news on that front, although it did get delayed back in January. But again, the NCAA has been continuing to be very optimistic that something is going to happen, and something could actually be happening very soon. Because again, you need to get it happened in order to comply with some of the dates that they have lined up for transfer rules. So once you know that that's kind of where the NCAA is leaning for all college athletes, then you get down to the conferences, but this is where it gets a little messy, right? So if Tennessee gets a transfer player from, give me a team outside of the SEC.
Colorado.
From Colorado. Under this new rule, that player will come and be immediately eligible. However, intra-conference is where it gets a little bit tricky, and this is where it'll get really frustrating if you're an SEC fan, I think. The ACC lifted their restrictions for transfer players within the conference back, you know, earlier in 2021, about a month or two ago. The Pac-12 did so in 2019. So those right there are two conferences that do not, you know, make anybody transferring within the conference sit out a year. One, the ACC just put that into effect. The Pac-12 did that in 2019 again. The SEC doesn't actually look like it's going to be as optimistic. On March 11th of this year, Greg Sankey spoke to the Courier-Journal where he said this, quote, I don't, in the offseason, anticipate entertaining waivers. In fact, We've communicated the intra-conference rule still stands. Our membership has voted on that rule. It's been in place for decades. It was waived in the one time, which I believe he's going back to the fall, as the blanket waiver was given to a couple of football players, including Cade Mays. He goes back and says, it was waived in that one time because of unique circumstances. And our member institutions, if they want to change the rule, need to submit their vision for the future and how we manage transfer issues within the conference. Then, according to the report in the Courier-Journal, Sankey said that the SEC schools could still vote to change the interconference transfer rule as part of its normal legislative process later in the spring. However, that move would be more likely if the NCAA does approve its free transfer rule. So again, it is confusing because you have the SEC commissioner coming out and saying, you know, I don't really expect to entertain any of this. We did it once, didn't even want to do it in the first place, don't really want to do it again. But he's also having to now go back and kind of say, but if that does pass between the NCAA, then there are conversations we are forced to have on our side. And like you kind of close with, I guess the SEC schools still can come together to change it, but they would have to do so very quickly. And again, that's also without knowing if this thing is going to be eventually passed yet. You know, there's still question marks ahead of us.
I mean, I think it'll get passed.
I absolutely think the NCAA one will get passed.
So how does this affect the Justin Powell Panther?
It will absolutely affect Justin Powell Panther.
So he won't be eligible immediately? Or
JPP?
Well, we don't know that yet. I think the idea is, I don't know, man. Truly, when I was sitting out with this research yesterday, on one hand, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Tennessee is not even the only SEC school that contacted Justin Powell Panther. Arkansas and Kentucky did as well, right? Maybe not offered, but they at least contacted him. We know that from an interview he did himself with 247. So I got to believe, on one hand, Tennessee knows something that I do not know, right? Maybe they're, maybe they and these other SEC schools, Arkansas and Kentucky, maybe they knew something else that we don't entirely know right now, and that's why they felt good enough to contact him. But then on the other hand, I do see this statement from Greg Sankey, and I do know that he can be stubborn, and he can be hard to move on some.
He's a power tripper.
He's excellent at his
on
job.
Some issues. So, Brandon,
he's a nice
guy. The short answer is, I don't know. I don't know yet. I think that, you know, it's just kind of depending on what news you want to put a little bit more stock into right now in the early goings.
Well, you got to think that Barnes and staff wouldn't have taken Justin Powell Panther totally. if they to take up a roster spot when you're in such dire need of having guys to play immediately. Yeah. I don't think that would be very feasible in my eyes that would be something that they would want.
Unless it's just a big risk.
I fully expect Justin Powell Panther to be immediately eligible. And I don't think it's going to be some lengthy process, the likes of what we saw with Cade Mays and some of those other football players that transferred into a conference last year. You know, I think it's going to be a smooth process. It just might, you know, it might not be immediate. It might be June where it's like, okay, yeah, by the way, they're all good. But regardless of what Greg Sankey says, you know, I think he's just going to have to take a look around and he'll realize, okay, this is the way the world's going now. This is the landscape of college basketball. Good, bad, or ugly, it is what it is. You know, our member schools are all in favor of immediate eligibility, even within the conference. I need to support them. And yeah. I think it'll be a pretty smooth process. I think he'll definitely be eligible.
And like I was telling you guys in the break, you know, this is not even – this is something that has kind of happened before. Going back to the fall, in September, Greg Sankey said that he did not expect to give out a blanket waiver, to these football players, but that did eventually happen against his word. So maybe that's something to keep on to. But I do go back to, you know, back to even when we were trying to figure out how college football is going to get played. Yes, you have this umbrella that the NCAA stands in, right? But then it's just a free-for-all after that. You know, not between the teams, but between the conferences. I wish that everybody could get on the same page a little bit more. I don't like how a player from Duke can go to North Carolina right now with no penalty. Because that's what the ACC said earlier this year, or the Pac-12. They said that 2 years ago. Yet the SEC is going to continue to be stubborn with some of these things. When, man, it feels like, hey, don't you want to keep a guy like Justin Powell Panther or some of these other high-level guys in the SEC, wouldn't you want to keep them in your conference? And I know it's not entirely all what they're thinking of, but I don't know. That's the frustrating part to me. It's kind of like when, you know, when you get detention from recess and you're looking out the window and you're seeing all your friends play on the soccer field.
I never got detention from recess.
You goody two-shoes then. Well, you're there's other people who know what I'm talking about. You're soft.
Soft like ice cream.
You know, some of us.
I always enjoyed recess.
We were behind the prison bars of elementary school, okay? Crooks and criminals.
I spent many a recess where they didn't even let me go outside to walk laps. They made me sit inside and watch from the window.
Couldn't be me.
This is like what we, as the SEC, are like right now. And again, we don't know how this is all going to end up. I think the majority of us are optimistic based on the news that is presented to us. By the way, you're watching the ACC and the Pac-12 transfer, playing soccer, playing kickball, and that thing, you know, the big thing, the big plastic thing, and you like throw a ball into it, and there were like four holes on the sides, and 1, 2, 3, 4, and yeah, you just threw it in, and it gave you a point total.
Mm-hmm.
So much fun as a kid. So stupid, though.
Well, they forget tetherball.
What do they call that game?
You cannot forget tetherball.
What if they did that in basketball? What if you every time you made the hoop, depending on which way the ball came out,
that would be
was
insane.
A different points total. 1, 2, 3, 4. That'd be the greatest game ever. Oh my God, that's brilliant.
4-point layup, 2-point half court shot.
And there's no difference in the shot quality. Again, the basket is the same.
He's pulling it's just, up from three. This could win the game or tie it,
or be meaningless.
Funnel ball.
Wow.
They couldn't come up with a better name than Funnel Ball.
That is,
I feel like it's very self-explanatory, though. Credit to them for not overcomplicating things.
Mm-hmm. Occam's Razor. Sometimes the simplest route is the best.
Funnel Ball.
I don't know if that came out or not. But
are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You were. Did you just watch it?
Would you like to share with the class?
Did you just watch it?
No, I mean, I saw that yesterday. It's just the story that Rick just sent me.
I haven't read it yet, so I have no idea what it's about.
I mean, I just laughed at the headline. I think it's pretty self-explanatory in the headline.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of things that are self-explanatory, things we need to hit, guess what, guys? Crown Cleaners has extended Starch Madness through the end of the month. The tournament may be over, but it is through the end of the month. That's right. Bring in three dress shirts. Get the fourth launder for free at Crown Cleaners. All you have to do is go to fanrunradio.com. Click on the Starch Madness logo. From there, you can print off the coupon, stick it with your shirts before they're picked up, or just show it to the people at Crown Cleaners on your phone when you take your laundry to Crown Cleaners. Two locations on Bearden Hill or North Shore Drive. Schedule your free pickup and delivery online at crowncleaners.com. Support Fan Run Radio by supporting our locally owned sponsors. You still got to the end of the month, people. The tournament's over, but the fine folks at Crown Cleaners decided to extend Starch Madness.
Hey, and that is tremendous because I have more clothes than I need to go get this deal with.
Yeah.
And again, I'm still waiting for the day that we all bring our one shirt and we just split the price
for sure.
Yeah, between the four of us.
Yeah, so Starch Madness brought to you by Crown Cleaners, Knoxville's choice for dry cleaning for over 50 years.
Hey, the best way to support Fan Run Radio, support the local businesses that help us.
You got that right, Chuck.
Cheers. All right, so last night we reaffirmed that Brandon's got superpowers. And I got to say, going back to last week, right, his dad called in to the show, and we heard a little bit of the story. And when we had started
to hear...
I'm glad
his dad... He was like spotlight, broke the major news of the century.
You made me a lot of money last night. I'll take care of you with trivia tonight.
When the stories were first coming out by Brandon's dad, I got to admit, my interest was piqued, okay? Or at least... I started to gain a little bit of interest. Then the UCLA game happened, right? I saw Brandon wear the UCLA shirt, and I saw them lose at the very end.
They didn't lose. They almost lost.
Excuse me. Yes. And then, so that game made me an optimistic skeptic, okay? But the game last night, I don't know how to explain it. You have an undefeated team, 30-0, at the peak of their competition. Put on the sweatshirt, and there you go, 20-point loss. I mean, I don't know how we haven't figured this out earlier, but it seems like it's set in stone.
Do you have a Braves shirt?
No.
Can I get you one?
Sure.
And you just wear it today and tomorrow? Because we're without like 11 people. We could use some shirt power.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to buy, a shirt for me to wear, it's I wear an extra large. You can just send it to me.
Wow.
Slide in my DMs. Sure. I'll tell you the address to send it to, and I'll wear the shirt that you send me.
Wow. Wear it on air, on the Periscope for everybody to see, whenever.
Well, but yeah.
Take
also
pictures,
during the game,
tweet
that's
it out.
The game is
the important part.
That's where the power lies, huh?
But I got to ask, do you, because you've kept this under wraps for so long, you think that maybe that was part of the magic, right? Like you only had to expel a little bit of this magical power various times. 4 times throughout a year, it's not much. You might have to do it 4 times the next 4 days.
I don't know. I mean, we'll find out.
We don't want to drain the power. You got a football season coming up.
That's exactly what I'm saying, guys. I don't want to use all the power on these other people's stupid teams, okay? So I'm going to be nervous if people, they need Chattanooga to win. Okay, well, I need Tennessee to win, so we need to save the magic.
I'm not doing it for Chattanooga.
You just said you'd do it for anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, there's exceptions.
No.
I like that. That's another layer.
Let's keep it pro sports and...
Well, you made your money off college.
Well, I'm just saying pro sports and NCAA Division I.
Okay, none of this
FBS
like
football.
None of this Division
II. Almost everything.
Not Chattanooga.
And not Canada. By God, no Canada.
Can we use it for the Olympics or like for the World Cup? Help the U.S. men's soccer team.
Are you gonna buy me like a Germany shirt?
I was like, can we help them?
Ghana jersey.
It's three straight times that they have missed World Cup qualifying. The last three times, so I don't know if we can help.
I don't think it's three in a row.
I thought whenever they missed this past time, I thought I saw a graphic that says
with
the
Trinidad
third time.
And Tobago, that was like
a while ago.
Yeah, that was like that was the last time we missed the World Cup was Trinidad and Tobago, but we can make the next one.
I don't know, man.
What'd you say about Tabasco sauce? What are you doing?
What are you counting down?
I don't know.
There we go. That was our 10 seconds on soccer. No more. I refuse to do it. No more. No more. No more. Absolutely
speaking
not. Countdown's
of,
over.
Okay, countdown. Speaking of a countdown.
Oh, it was the Olympics you're thinking of. My bad.
Olympics, yeah.
Yeah. But
not World Cup.
But
Olympics.
It's not our national team that plays in that. It's our under-23 team, and they just kind of suck. And they're poorly coached, and they choose the MLS players over the good players. So.
Speaking of updates, me and Rick got a big day tomorrow.
Has it been 2 weeks since you ordered your...
You didn't see? The haters are going to hate. The haters are going to hate. The haters are going to hate. Well, tomorrow.
Is it Amazon Prime Day?
We get our... No, it's our Top Shot Day.
When is that coming up?
Hey, and let me...
Oh, my God, Prime Day, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Prime Day's coming up.
I'm going to use my Top Shot money.
Let me tell you a little something about our update for our packs tomorrow.
Oh, my God, I think I'm going to step out of the
room. No, it's quick. It's quick. It's quick. This is good stuff. You'll want to hear this. All
right.
This might be me and Rick getting rich. There are a total of 169 different NBA Top Shot moments in these packs that will be released this week. From 158 different players. If you're asking us, according to Clutch Points, all eyes should be on these moments.
What are you doing?
LaMelo Ball's.
Sit down.
LaMelo Ball's first career assist will be one. There will be one of 100.
Oh, come on. That's
big. LeBron James' full court assist, there will be one of 35,000.
Oh, my God.
And also, you're going to love this one. You're going to love this one.
Oh, my God.
There's one out of 35,000. Behind the back pass from Luka Doncic.
Oh my God!
I hope both of you
Bring
just get
me.
Eight different Trevor
Bring
Ariza moments.
Me.
If I get LaMelo Ball's first career assist, the one of 100, that's easy. 10K. Oh my,
no, you guys
minimum,
are just gonna. Trevor Ariza has easily played for 9 teams. You're
why
gonna get a
you,
moment from
why
each
would
of
you
nine.
Do that? Why would us. You do that?
I
if
know.
We get one of these, and we're gonna take you to lunch or something. I mean,
will
like,
you,
Roof Chris?
Will
you
take
us to lunch?
If I get the LaMelo Ball's first career assist, there's only 100 NFTs. I will take all of us,
why
Roof Chris.
Why are you guys?
I am rooting
so,
for you now.
You guys are so insecure.
We are all going to
that
Roof
you
Chris.
Cannot
I'm show very
a
secure.
You can get a, and I'll let Charlie get the tomahawk steak.
Oh my God!
Wow!
Wow!
The tomahawk.
Mm-hmm.
From Roof Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let him.
Top Shot tomorrow.
Are you opening up live on the air?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. So you can feel the disappointment or the joy. Well, I hope it's a lot of joy.
This is a Trevor Ariza with his one-week stint with the Rockets when he had that.
Trevor Ariza with the Trailblazers.
You know.
Trevor Ariza, garbage time rebound.
The only thing that I'm hoping it's not. Remember last time that we tried to open up a surprise thing on the show? I got one word for you twice. Womp womp.
Apex Pest Control is your complete pest management.
Couple of days away from one of our favorite sporting events of the year, the Masters, is on its way to Augusta this week, and we cannot wait to see who is going to be taking the crown. But look, hey, now is the best time if you want to start betting on a little bit of golf action. Well, then FanDuel Sportsbook has a gimme that is just for you. Look, I love betting golf on FanDuel. This was one of the most unexpected benefits that I have found about the FanDuel app. Genuinely. I knew that when I got this app, I wanted to be betting a little bit of football, wanted to be betting a little bit of baseball, maybe basketball. Golf was not on my radar until last year's Masters, and I have been glued to it since. Golf is extremely fun to bet. You can do so on FanDuel Sportsbook. And how about this? New users right now can get 20-1 odds on Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, or Jordan Spieth just to make the cut at the Masters. Yep, you heard that right. Not win, but just to make the cut. DJ, Rory, or Spieth, 20-1 odds. You can do that right now if you are a new user. That's right, take your pick. You'll get 20-1 odds on three of the world's best golfers just to make the cut. Look, it's an incredible bet.
Easy peasy.
Those guys, they know what they're doing. They're experienced. They've been there before. They've done the thing before. These are the guys that you want to back in the race. So, hey, they're giving you three great picks. Jordan Spieth, we told you a little bit ago, he has three top five finishes in his last five tournaments. That's a guy who's hot heading into the Masters. So, you can win $100 on a $5 bet here with FanDuel with the 20-1 odds with these three players. There is not much more of a gimme than that. And when you do win, FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 24 hours. I know all four of us can attest to that, and that is one of the many reasons why FanDuel is our favorite sportsbook to use and our only sportsbook that we use. The world's best golfers tee off in Augusta April 8th through the 11th, and there are even more ways to win with America's number one sportsbook. Just create your account using promo code BLITZ to get the 20-1 odds. Again, that's promo code BLITZ only on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Again, golf, go bet it. It's a lot of fun. It'll really make the day fly by, and it'll really give you a little bit of enjoyment. And hey, with that 20-1 bet, you can make yourself some good money. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market, $10 first deposit required, $100 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. All right. So, hey, you got a great deal right there. Make sure to go take advantage of it. We'll give you a little bit of information throughout the week about some of the most important storylines to watch out for in the Masters. But until then, gentlemen, let's get into one of my favorite segments of the day. Let's get into a little bit of If You Haven't Heard.
If you haven't heard, we talked about the Aaron Beasley situation and the cruelty animals suspended indefinitely, but I just saw this from Davey Hudson. I guess the other roommate, because there's two roommates. One roommate is the girlfriend, and the other roommate was home.
Right.
That vouched that report.
That's the cat owner, correct? The roommate is the cat owner.
No, so you had the cat owner, and then you had Beasley and his girlfriend. Then there's a third roommate that clarified all this stuff, and she said that. Per David Ubbenup, she spoke with The Athletic. Aaron beat the cat because it got into the wings. So the cat got into the chicken wings.
Yeah. Never let him play football again.
Yep.
Chicken wings.
So the girlfriend and Beasley obviously kind of deny the report, so they just put the cat in the bathroom. But then the other roommate that was there also, while the third roommate with the kitten was gone. She said no, she had text messages from the roommate saying he put in the toilet, and she heard crying and saying, like, the girlfriend telling him you can't do that.
Jeez.
Put him in jail for a long time.
So apparently beat the kitten over some damn chicken wings, allegedly.
It's a really sad story.
It is.
Again, there's embarrassing moments for the
university. It's sad and embarrassing.
And for supporters of the university It's not.
It's
good.
Sad for somebody to throw away their career like that over. I mean, obviously there's some deeper anger there, but just over something like that.
If you haven't heard, as of this morning, Wisconsin Athletic Director Barry Alvarez will step down from his position.
Oh, wow.
At the end of June.
Holy cow. I feel like he's been there forever.
Been there a long time. Coached multiple bowl games.
Wow. Yeah.
If you haven't heard, a North Carolina woman was charged after her child showed up to her the child's elementary school with 260 grams of cocaine in the child's backpack.
That was okay. The story I was laughing at.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that story full in detail tomorrow. There's
cocaine.
There's some good stuff to it. We've all been there. You know, you just grabbed the wrong bag out on the way to school.
Oh, yeah,
we've
260 grams.
No, there's 260 grams of cocaine.
National Calendar Days.
Yes, sir.
Today, National Teflon Day. Shout out to the Teflon Don, Rick Ross. National Library Workers Day.
Okay, shout out to the librarian.
Yeah, Russell Smith's wife, a librarian. Nice. National Tartan Day. Also, National Caramel Popcorn Day. Do you guys like caramel corn?
It's okay. Yeah. It's not my favorite. I mean, I like it either. I'll eat it.
I ate Cracker Jacks when I was little, but I ain't much on caramel corn.
If you get
them
with the cheese popcorn, it's like a 1-3 ratio.
National Student Athlete Day.
Okay.
National Employee Benefits Day.
Very nice.
National New Beers Eve.
New Beers Eve?
Yeah. National.
They're getting ready for our Top Shot drop
tomorrow. Tomorrow is New Beers Day.
Yep. National SAM Day of Action. That's SAAM. I don't know what the acronym for that is. And probably my favorite thing to say, National Sorry Charlie Day.
Hey, join us tomorrow on the Blitz for National